It's been quite a month in the land of media. Heck, just the last 2 days have been chock full of stuff. Working backwards, we've had CNN's White House correspondent denied entry to the building because before that, he would not stop asking the president a question. And of course, before that, well, we had an election. And there are plenty of media happenings to talk about that do not involve politics, we think. Once a month, we peruse the media landscape with Southern Oregon University communication faculty members Andrew Gay and Precious Yamaguchi for a segment we call Signals and Noise. It's a broad view of the media, taking everything from books to virtual reality. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you.
Precious, welcome back.
Hello.
I want to get some general impressions first, because this has been such a media-intensive time, and I know some people who were just sort of, they looked like the walking dead the last couple of weeks, because they're just sort of dragging themselves, like, I can't wait for this to be over, you know, getting barraged by commercials on TV. And, of course, video pop-up ads on websites and all. So just, if I can just get sort of a general sense of what this election season felt like to you from a media perspective. Precious?
I think, well, it's very interesting because I feel that I'm not the only person out there who doesn't have a television or doesn't watch television. I have one for video games, but we don't get any cable or anything. So I felt that a lot of the commercials or different type of little ads were things that I would have to go back on to the web to see what people were talking about in terms of different types of commercials. So it was very television intensive, I felt like. And even if you are not watching television, there's so much media that is responding to different type of ads or different things that have happened on television that I almost felt a little left out in at times.
We had a piece on Election Day pointing out that particularly in the Oregon governor's race, the ecosystem is still very much centered around that 30-second TV spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Precious. I don't watch any you know, active broadcast or cable television, just, you know, Netflix or Hulu. So yeah, I was also kind of felt that left out. Like, everybody's talking about TV, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So I would catch things online later, but you know, my mom was griping about it. You know, she just moved to the region, and she's, you know, was just telling me the other day at dinner, like, I think the political TV ads should just be outlawed entirely. All we get is TV ads all the time, and just a sick of it. So I think a lot of people felt frustrated and inundated by that.
So that's interesting. So you guys as cord cutters then have a very different perspective. Mm-hmm. You're kind of left out of the conversation in a sense, because people talking about the things that are making them mad because they saw them on live TV or something.
Right. So we probably get mad maybe
other things
30 minutes later than everybody
else. Well, you
know,
the other thing is the text messages are becoming a big thing. Like, I was getting inundated in the last couple days before Election Day, with texts from various groups reminding me to
go vote
and turn in my ballot. And it's like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I've gotten enough of these. But
yeah. And just, after a while, of course, since it's all on your phone, it kind of blurs together for me.
Right.
You're getting emails from Newt Bueller's wife and stuff, like, you know, I'm really serious. Newt will do the job.
I was really happy to see that there was so many searches. There was analysis that there was so many searches on Google that people were Googling in Spanish where they could vote. So that was great to see different cultures and different ethnicities and communities looking to see where their voting locations were.
A lot of donde votar,
you
know, where to vote. Yes.
I was very happy to see that.
All right. And I noticed that, that it was actually picked up by the likes of The Hill, so it made mainstream media that this was going on as well.
Right.
A lot of people turned out. I mean, it's interesting to see that, as I was talking to Darnell before the show, it's like, well, you lose sight of some of the House races because there are 435 of them, and I didn't realize, like, for just until the last few minutes that, for example, Karen Handel had lost in the Atlanta suburb. So all kinds of stories out there from a huge election. But then, of course, there's the post-election stuff, and I have often joked with you guys privately and on the air in this segment that no matter what we do to lock down the list of things we'll talk about the day before, there's always a new wrinkle. Mm. And just this morning, the same thing. I was going to talk about Jim Acosta being banned from the White House, CNN's White House correspondent, ostensibly for laying hands on a person who was actually trying to pull a microphone away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it last night, but then you came in this morning and said there's a new wrinkle in how it was portrayed.
Yeah, so Sarah Huckabee Sanders released from her press secretary Twitter account a video clip of kind of a close-up of that exchange of the hands, and And it shows kind of almost like a karate chop, and saying like
from Acosta
saying, you know, see, we stand by this. We stand by our banning of this kind of behavior. Well, that video actually appeared on InfoWars, I guess the UK version, 2 hours earlier, and it's manipulated. The video is not real time. It is, I think, first slowed down, then sped up, or sped up and then slowed down. But it creates a karate chop from what's just a very casual sort of moving of the hand where he's gesturing at the president, and her arm comes up. And so it's just sort of their arms do touch one another, but it was very this sort of like meandering move. It was not this karate chop that was created by speeding it up. And so there's now all these videos. I mean, CNN's calling. You know, there's a number of CNN anchors that are tweeting about this right now. But there's also all these video analyses where they're showing them side by side, or one person like did the original video in red and like overlaid it so that you can see the outline of the arms changing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of Orwellian to have the press secretary actively, you know, literally tweet out a manipulated video to make an argument against the press.
Yeah, I think that manipulated video came from this person, Paul Joseph Walton, who he is very, his tweets are pretty divisive in general, trying to divide people, but also he's in the UK. He's I think he's situated in London. And I think
that... Is it Paul Joseph Watson?
Yeah, Watson.
Okay,
Watson.
All I had to do was type in Paul Joseph. Yeah. It finished it for me.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the people that did the edits, which then went on to InfoWars. And so I think it could be a bit problematic that we have Sarah
Huckabee Sanders
using media. There's all kinds of video and camera that... are there, but using the clip from this individual who already creates a lot of tweets and media that's very divisive, and also not even in our country too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even that whole exchange was relatively shocking. I mean, the president of the United States pointing directly to a reporter, asking him a question, saying, "You are a terrible person. You are the enemy of the people." This is, you know, only a couple weeks after CNN received a pipe bomb. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's troubling. And of course, you know, we're talking about media before the election. You know, we had the case where, you know, Sean Hannity tweets out, I'm interviewing the president, I'm not campaigning with him. And then that night he's on stage, standing next to the president, campaigning for him and pointing out back at the reporters that they are fake news. And so here is a Fox News personality, you know, parroting these same...
That's an astonishing moment in American media history where a guy from a news network, I mean, news is in the name, Fox News, stands on stage with the president, points to the reporters from the other networks in the back of the room and says, "You guys are fake news."
Well, and it reminds me of, you know, I think in the last presidential primary, MSNBC did a candidates forum with the Democratic candidates, so Hillary and Bernie, and you know, Rachel Maddow was the host, and you know, Rachel Maddow says, "Oh, I'm a hugger." So when they came out, you know, she hugged the candidates, and there is an outroar that, "Oh, I cannot believe that the person who is doing this candidate forum would hug a candidate." And so the turnaround from saying, "Oh, do not hug a candidate when greeting them," to it's entirely appropriate to be on stage campaigning with them is quite a difference.
It really is. And we're talking to Andrew Gay and Precious Yamaguchi for this month's edition of Signals and Noise here on the Jefferson Exchange. You're welcome to join the conversation. We will, I promise, get to topics other than politics. But let's face it, this is the week of an election, so a lot to talk about. Join us at 800-838-3760. With some ideas about things you have seen, heard, and otherwise experienced, or send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. You guys were, I want to come back just a little bit to the discussion of commercials, because you guys as cord cutters don't get those, but boy, you guys are all over Twitter. I always know who to go to catch up on the latest on Twitter, because I'm not that observant of it myself. But I'll tell you something, I was watching Sunday Night Football, New England Patriots fan, and watching with the sound off, because we had company, and went, what is that? And I reached for the mute button just in time to hear most of the commercial. Making all the standard Donald Trump warnings about the convoy, the caravan approaching the U.S. border, and how much trouble we were in, which is a spot that NBC decided the next day, we're not going to run this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an awful commercial. I can't downplay it and say anything diplomatic other than it was incredibly racist, awful, using terrible imagery to portray cultural groups of people, and also to portray immigration in just the simplified manner of all these people walking all together to cross the border. There's nothing that is not terrible about that.
Factually incorrect too, right? And, and I think, you know, it was remarkable also to see, you know, especially I think there's this attitude among the media that, of course, they want to be seen as objective, they want to be seen as neutral, and so they usually stay away from words like racist, right? You also, like a racially charged ad, you know, CNN refused to air this ad and tweeted out, their office literally said, no, this was a racist ad, we're not going to program this. So that was actually kind of a moment of like, oh, whoa, let's just recognize what just happened, that CNN couldn't even beat around the bush on this, that this ad is racist.
Let's take a call, in fact, I think on this very subject matter. Garrett in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange in our Signals and Noise segment. Hi, Garrett.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask your guests if there is any prohibition to creating a law preventing false statements in political ads.
Yeah, a lot of people ask about that, and it's a wonderful question that I think we should all research, Garrett. Thanks for that. Truth in advertising. There is such a thing as truth in advertising laws. You can't make a claim, you know, like this refrigerator will save you $5,000 on your utility bill if it's not true. There seems to be much greater squishy land for political advertising.
Yeah, political speech is a little challenging. I think people talk about these kinds of laws. You know, could we make laws like that, but then there's that question of, okay, well then who is going to be the person who decides? We have fact-checking websites and things like that that are helpful, but even those, you know, there are disputes about, you know, what people say is a lie or a half-truth or whatever. So I think I don't expect in our lifetimes to see a law that is more controlling of political speech. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that there should be more control. The hard thing too is with advertising, it's a business, so people paying for advertising space and just having that price tag also of, well, if you pay certain prices, this is the space or the time or the voice that you can have.
You know, we talked about the 30-second TV spot still being the center of the ecosystem. I should say it's really the center of the economy. And having worked in commercial television for as many years as I did, I know how much they love those even-numbered years in commercial TV because that's where you make all your money.
Yeah,
I
mean,
just
I have a lot of friends
in
film and video production. And so, yeah, it's a booming time for them during these years.
I know in fashion magazines, there's different ads that might be problematic in terms of body image or certain messages, but a lot of times those ads still get placed because of the ad space and the willingness of a person to purchase that ad space.
Let's move back then before the election to Halloween, because it was talking about how you should dress up for Halloween or not that got Megyn Kelly kicked off her job on the last hour of the Today
Show.
Seems
years ago now.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, Megyn Kelly got in quite a bit of trouble. And, you know, I remember I watched the clip, again, on Twitter. I think moments after it happened, people were sharing this clip. And my jaw kind of dropped that, you know, Megyn Kelly was on the air saying, you know, what's really so bad about blackface? When I was a kid, we could do this. You know, are we getting a little too sensitive? Or, you know, I'm not quoting her. I don't remember the exact words. But, you know, and I sort of thought, this can't be okay. This is going to have consequences, right? And there was, you know, a huge uproar, and she was immediately removed from the air. You know, I don't think NBC has severed her contract or anything, but they're just figuring out what to do with her next.
That was heard was that they were negotiating some sort of exit or reassignment or something. I'm not sure she'll be back on NBC at all, but it was interesting because I was wondering what they were going to do with it in an hour of live TV, because I did watch her apology, which came the day after she said this, her tearful apology with a lot of people standing up and cheering for her, a studio audience for Megyn Kelly today. But then the day after that was Thursday and Friday. They ran reruns.
Yeah, and I think it was Al Roker even
The Today Show
called her out pretty
meteorologist,
aggressively on the regular Today segment where he said, you know, yeah, she apologized, but that's not enough.
And it was a segment on NBC Nightly News as well with Lester Holt. So
I mean, right.
Yeah,
okay.
The network covered it even in its own evening news, talking about the people on their morning news show.
It's pretty hard to retract from that type of statement, which being in media, she should have that sense of history of how hurtful and how shameful our media past is, whether it's through Looney Tunes cartoon and their depiction of races and different ethnicities, or even when we look at films like Breakfast at Tiffany's, how they have the depiction of Asian people, any kind of historically hurtful depiction, blackface especially, completely inappropriate, and just it's so painful to so many people.
One of the things that she said in her apology was that I've always been very un-PC, unpolitically correct, which obviously wasn't enough cover for this. Obviously, we need to do a whole hour on PC.
Right.
We had a chance to touch on it yesterday with the folks from Bridging the Divide, but they didn't quite get there. But PC. But that whole idea of like, well, I want to say things as they are, but this is still something that is too sensitive to too many people.
Yeah, to believe anything is okay with blackface and the way that it's just been showed historically and simplified a whole race of people for so many years.
To that one thing,
yeah.
So your skin is brown, yeah. You mentioned something a moment ago, Precious, about body image, and that gets us into the Rebel Wilson controversy, which, Andrew, you brought on. You know more about than I do.
Yeah, so Rebel Wilson has a new movie coming out. I don't remember the name of it. And, you know, Rebel Wilson is a plus-size comedian and actress, a white woman, and she was on Ellen and talking about how proud she was to be the first ever plus-size lead in a romantic comedy. And Twitter being Twitter, immediately a large community of people said, what? Because there's quite a number of romantic comedies with plus-size leads, namely Queen Latifah and Monique. And so particularly the sort of black Twitter, the community kind of responded and said, wait a minute, no, this is you're totally erasing all black women. And then Rebel Wilson did not help herself at all and said, oh, but there's a question as to whether those are really plus-size women. So it's kind of indicating like, oh, well, you know, plus-size black women aren't really plus-size because that's there's different body standards. And you know, it just was ugly. And then she started blocking.
She blocked people on Twitter.
A lot of people on Twitter. Yeah, it was not a good look, not a good way to promote her film. A really unfortunate incident, and I think she could have really responded I think she could have done a very quick apology and said, oh, you know what, you're right, I didn't mean to do that, and I think it would have been over. It was just the way that she totally...
Yeah, or even made more inclusive statements.
Certainly, yeah.
What?
not single her out as something. And the actress Monique, she actually did a film called Fat Girls with P-H-A-T, but still it just showed her lack of knowledge of or recognition of other women.
Not being aware of the whole landscape of the business in which you work.
Could have been supporting each other, but...
Mm-hmm. Right. Her new movie's called Isn't It Romantic? I don't know when it hits the theaters, and I'm not sure anybody cares at this point. We're going to give you a little extra time for a change for your pick threes. So why don't we start with you this time, Precious? Your three favorite media things at the moment, for this moment, because things change so fast in media land.
Right. So I finally got to see the film I, Tonya, and... If I was a producer at that point of hearing about this proposition to make a film, I probably would have said no, but it was so great. I love the acting. It was so powerful.
This is the movie about Tonya Harding.
Yeah, Tonya Harding. You do feel sympathy for her and her upbringing. Also, Tyler Hicks of the New York Times has done a really great job of photographing the children in Yemen. I think it makes us act on whether it's through donations or seeing other ways to help, but the famine and all of the terrible things happening there. And then also I'll include Hotel Transylvania 3, where they're on a cruise ship. And just like if you like that slapstick kind of animation, which I do, I don't see myself as overly sophisticated or anything. I love that type of animation.
And I missed Hotel Transylvania 2. So
I mean, yeah, I haven't seen any.
I think 1 and 3 are better.
Are they the same cast members in all 3? Or
I think so.
Or is this isn't like Grease 2, you know?
No, all of our favorite actors, monsters and everything are back.
Okay, good.
So my 3 are, first of all, Look Now, the new album from Elvis Costello and the Impostors, his first album with the Impostors, I think it was like 10 years.
Wow.
Great album. Been listening to that. Second, here on at the Southern Oregon University campus in Ashland, we're doing a screening of a film called Call Her Ganda.
We have an interview with the director next week.
Yeah. So the director is going to be Skyping in. This is on November 18th at 4 p.m. in the Music Recital Hall for Transgender Day of Remembrance. So it's a really powerful film. Encourage people to check that out. And then a media story that I didn't really get to talk about was Filmstruck. Warner Entertainment has decided to close down Filmstruck, which is their streaming service for Turner Classic Movies and the Criterion Collection.
I did see that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's ending at the end of this month. So you probably can't get a new one, but I'm trying to churn through some classic films myself. And there is a petition, a very popular petition of people trying to get this back and to get them to change their mind. But there's also, it has sparked a new conversation about physical media, about the fact that, you know, all these people are thinking, oh, I don't need Blu-rays anymore because Filmstruck's here. Actually, you know, this kind of reminds us that physical media is still a thing and maybe something you want for those hard-to-get films.
It's so weird to think about the fact that we have just so many ways to obtain things right now, and yet the avenues are still closing down. So it's got generally more obscure films, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
you still get the likes of Casablanca.
Yeah, exactly. They have a few, you know, they do have like things like Casablanca, the sort of Turner Classic Movie catalog, but they do focus more on the more obscure and hard-to-find films, foreign language films. But they do a lot of good. I mean, they just did they do a lot of curation, mm-hmm. and they just did a big section on women-directed films and will often highlight sort of marginalized voices in that way.
Well, I'm always so glad to have you guys on here. I always feel like I know a whole lot more about the media landscape once we're done talking. As Precious Yamaguchi and Andrew Gay from the Communication Faculty at Southern Oregon University joining us for this month's edition of Signals and Noise. May December be a quieter discussion with a lot less politics.
We'll
Thank
see.
You both.
Bye.